Talking right now in Sunday school about service, and so this becomes a good opportunity for us to practice what it is that we're talking about. So thanks for the time that you've invested in being a part of this church. I haven't got to this part of the lesson yet, but I'm seeking to remind them that oftentimes we say to them that God has put them in the body of the church, but they're a part of the body that we don't use yet. I'm telling them, no, God has put you in the body of the church, and you're part of the body we want to use now, and so let's be a part of this body. And so I'm thankful for their service. I put out a sign-up sheet and give everybody an opportunity to sign up in what ways they'd like to serve, and so the four offering-taking slots are always the first to go, and the preaching slot is always the last to go, if it goes at all. And we tried to give them an opportunity to preach. We did some lengthy quiet moments while I just stood there and looked at them, offering them this opportunity, and they all put their head down and wouldn't make eye contact with me. Threatened to say when I got up here, David's going to come and preach for us in just a couple minutes here, and so... But I won't do that to him and throw it on him last second. Preaching is one of the more difficult things to do. We've had a number of teens in the past stand before you guys and preach, and it's always a nerve-wracking thing to do. And like David says, just a few people looks like a lot of people sometimes when you stand up here and look out. And so you guys are stuck with me, which is bad for two reasons. Number one, you hear me all the time. And number two, what I'm going to preach is going to be longer than what they would preach. And so for two reasons, I'm sorry about that. You can open your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 10. This passage has been rattling around in my head some for a little while, and thought if this slot is open tonight and I would be preaching, that I would just come here for the evening and take a few minutes to consider a well-known passage, but a passage it's probably good for us to come back to fairly regularly and consider what this passage has to say. We're here at the end of Luke chapter 10, beginning our reading in verse 38 and reading down through verse 42. Okay. So reading from Luke 10, verse 38 says, "Now, as they were traveling along, he," speaking of Jesus here, "entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's take just a moment and ask the Lord to help us as we think together about these verses tonight. Lord, thank you for all that you ordain, and even in this service, in the songs which were sung, and the testimony that was given, and the verses that were recited, much has already been said to minister to us. And we pray, even now as we open your word and for a few minutes sit quietly to think about what is here, I pray that you would continue the work of your Spirit in our hearts. It is impossible for me to speak to the Spirit inside each person, but Lord, you are the Spirit who carries the word of God to the hearts of people. Your word is the sword of the Spirit. And so we pray that as we give this opportunity to you to use in our lives, that you would take it and use it as you would see fit. And so honor yourself, we pray, in this time, in Christ's name. Amen. Last year, Pastor Young and I were at a conference in Washington, D.C., and we had gone through the whole conference, and it was the last morning of it, and we had gone to the church, and there was couple sessions, wrap-up sort of stuff, and then we had gone back to the hotel, and we had packed up our bags, and we were heading out to fly home, and we got our suitcases packed up. We walked together out to the parking lot. If you've ever noticed which car is Pastor Young's in the parking lot, his is the one that is always backed into the parking spot. And so that was the case on this day as well. Our rental car was there. We had just to return the rental car and then to catch a flight back home. And as we're walking up to the rental car, we open up the trunk. It's backed up against the curb there. And we are going to load our bags into the back of the trunk. And so I'm first, and mine goes up and in. And then he is next, and his bag goes up and in. And as it goes in, I hear something hit the ground. And I look down for just a moment, and I see that the car keys to the rental car had dropped on the ground. Where we had parked was an interesting place because it was one of those places where in the curb, occasionally you see these storm drains that all the water runs into this. And so the bag goes up and in. I hear something hit the ground. I look down. And you have these moments that are like slow motion, you know, where you can see the keys sliding into the storm drain, but you're frozen and you can't do anything to stop it. And so down they go, and there's a moment of silence while they fall, and then I hear them hit the bottom. And on that particular day, we had a lot of things that were very important to us, things that we thought we had to do. And yet in that moment, all of those things that were just a second ago so important to us didn't seem so important. Because in that moment, there was one thing that was important, and that was getting those keys out of that storm drain. I won't tell you the whole story of how it happened, but I will say that I have a picture of your pastor crawling out of the sewer, but he had the keys. You had the keys. That's a story about priorities. On that day, in that moment, that key became a priority above everything else. I think probably priorities are the things in life that determine how it is that we live our lives each day. I mean, you don't crawl into the sewer unless you have priorities that, because of the events of life that day, have changed to make that something which is very important for you. I think we could say simply tonight that our priorities are the things that are important to us. So if I ask you now to take a second in your mind and think about your priorities, what are the things in your life that you would say are important to you? And why is it that those things are important to you? I could take a moment tonight and pass out a blank piece of paper to everybody and a pen. And I could say, on that piece of paper, I'd like you to write down your priorities. So what would be on that list? What would be your top five? Or what would be even at the very top? We can, I think, write down our priorities on a piece of paper, and maybe that would be a beneficial thing for us to do, but I think that the more honest list of our priorities is the list that we write each day while we live that day. Because the things that we do in that day, no matter what we wrote on our list, the things that we actually do in that day are the things that really are important to us. And life in its everyday events has a way of arranging our priorities to make things that didn't seem important all of a sudden seem important, and the other way around. I mean, I may say to myself, I need to start exercising, and today at lunchtime I'm going to go and I'm going to take a walk. And when I I look out my window at lunchtime and I see that it is blowing and it is snowing, my priorities just changed in just a moment. And life has a way of doing that for us, of rearranging our priorities. The passage before us this evening that we read is a passage which speaks to us, I think, very clearly about examining our priorities in life. And the lesson that is taught here is a lesson about what is to be the supreme or the first priority in all of our lives. That lesson is clearly taught here, but it's, I think, doubly beneficial because it's not only taught, but it's illustrated in the story that we read before us this evening. Some of the most powerful instruction in the Bible comes to us when we read a story like this and we put ourselves in that story and we see how God would desire to reflect the truths that are happening here on me. And when we read a story like this and we say, you know, that person is me, then God takes that and he uses it in our life. We have in this story a family, Mary and Martha. Lazarus is not mentioned in the account here before us, but these three are siblings. They were friends of Jesus, very dear friends. We find him at their home numerous times throughout the gospel record. And I don't know if this was one of the first times that Jesus had come to their home, or if this was a time that he had been there before and was coming back again. We also don't know if when Jesus came to their home on this day, if his visit to their home was something that was unexpected. I don't know that. I tend to think that's the case because of the way that the passage reads, that Jesus had popped in, it seems, a bit unexpectedly. But even though it was unexpected, it was not something that was unwelcome. And you can look at verse 38 there at the end to see that Martha welcomed him into her home. So Jesus' visit in their home may have been unexpected, but it was not a visit that was unwelcome. And with the welcome of Jesus into the home comes the realization that all of a sudden there is much that needs to be done. I mean, think about it for a moment. Jesus is here. He's in your house, and he's staying for the afternoon and into the evening, perhaps even staying the night. And you ladies, think about what would happen if Jesus stopped by your home and how you would respond. Some of us guys are a little more oblivious to the fact, you know, well, the trash can's not spilled and everything should be fine, right? But you ladies are very careful to notice the details and all the things that need to be done. We meet Mary in verse 39. She, you can tell from verse 39, is very different from Martha. Although they are sisters, they respond very differently in this situation. You have someone coming to the same house on the same day, but you have two very different responses from these sisters. And I think the response is somewhat tied to their character or their nature as they are. But I think more than that, the response of these two ladies as Jesus teaches down toward the end of the text is a response that deals more with the priorities of their life. And so they respond by deciding what it is that is most important to them. On this day, Mary and Martha both have a choice to make, and they both decide how it is that they're going to spend their time. Look at Mary's choice in verse 39. So she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. Of all the things that could be done that day, and I think Martha would say should be done that day, Mary makes a choice here to do what is important to her. This is no accident that we find here seated at the Lord's feet, as close to him as she could get. This is not something that would be happening, that a rabbi or a teacher would allow a woman to sit at his feet and learn like this. But there she is at the Lord's feet, and she had made this choice to have a priority of listening to the word of the Lord. It was a choice. If you look to what Jesus says in verse 42, he tells us that. He says, Mary has chosen the good part. She was there by her choice. and she had made it a priority to be near Jesus and to listen to his word. Her posture and her position on this day illustrate for us the type of response that every Christian should have in relationship to the word of God. I say should have, not does have. Because if we're honest with ourselves, I think probably we would identify a little bit better with Martha in this passage than we would with Mary. Martha, we read in verse 40, is distracted. Let me just be very clear here. She is distracted, not with bad things. I think sometimes we think, oh, Martha, she's the one who did the bad stuff. Mary, she's the one who did the good stuff. Martha's not distracted with bad things. She's serving. She's preparing a meal and a place to stay for the Lord. But she is nonetheless distracted. A classified section of the newspaper, there are ads that are put in there, and one of the ads that was found in the newspaper one day was this: farmer with 160 irrigated acres wants marriage-minded woman with tractor. When replying, please show picture of tractor. It's not bad. It's just that he's got maybe his priorities out of place. And that really is where we find Martha here. She has misplaced priorities. So we've seen Mary sitting at the Lord's feet. Now take a look at Martha in verse 40. And in verse 40, I think we could, with four words, describe what's going on with her and what we see her doing here in verse 40. We've noticed the first already. She is distracted. This is a word which literally means to be drawn away or to be pulled away. So all of the preparations, and the word here is serving, all of the serving that she's doing had caused her to be distracted or pulled away from the opportunity to hear what Jesus was actually saying. It is not as though Martha didn't want to hear what Jesus was saying. It's not like she was like, well, you know, I don't really want to listen to him, so I'll go do some jobs and get some things done until he's done talking. That's not at all the case. She is distracted, it says here. And I think that the word is a perfect description. She would have liked to have sat and listened to what Jesus was saying. But she was pulled away by all of the things that needed to be done. Or at least the things that she thought needed to be done. There was food that needed to be prepared. There were beds that needed to be made. There were parts of the house that needed to be cleaned. There were dishes that needed to be done. And all of these things that she saw crowded in life and dragged her away from this priority of sitting and listening to the Lord. All of these things could be done. And Martha decided that this serving and this preparing was the most important thing that should be done. And may I say here that serving the Lord is an important thing to do. And Jesus in no way wants to reflect poorly on saying that Martha's desire to serve him was wrong. But we must remember, as Warren Wiersbe puts it in his commentary, that what we do with Christ is more important than what we do for Christ. And I think that Martha's distraction here is probably one of the best descriptions of the kind of lives that we all live today. If we, as Christians, are handed a blank piece of paper, I would say that many of us, if not most of us, would put in the top five, if not at the top position on our paper, that God is the priority in our life. It's not our intention to ignore him. It's not our intention for him to get shoved down the list. But then everyday life comes. And in the events of everyday life, like Martha, we find that God and his priority is being shoved down the list to a place where he doesn't belong. And like Martha, all these things that we can do, things that are good, all these things that may be done, we tend to think are things that must be done, and we allow them to pull us away from this place of priority, of sitting quietly before the Lord. of shutting our mouth and allowing him to speak, of letting him say to us the kinds of things that he needs to say and the kinds of things that we need to hear. We live in days of great advancements. We have all of this technology and all of these things to make life easier, to make it so that it's so much faster to do all these things in life. And yet we are today just as busy, perhaps more busy, than any generations in the past. We are busy. We are distracted in life. We are pulled away by all this stuff. And we fight to balance the demands and the responsibilities of work and school and home and family and all the relationships and the daily responsibilities that daily pull on us. We are busy people. But we're not the first busy people who've lived. And there have been a lot of busy people who lived in ages past before us. A lady by the name of Susanna Wesley was one of those. She had 19 children. 10 of them lived. The other 9 died in infancy. She had a child, one who was crippled, another one who couldn't talk until it was nearly 6 years old. There were a huge amount of stresses on the family and relationships, and there was a tremendous amount of debt and need for money. Her husband was once thrown into debtor's prison because their debt was so high. Twice their homes had burned to the ground and they lost everything that was in their home. They had people slit the cow's udder so they wouldn't have milk and kill their dog and burn their flax field. In spite of all of this, Susanna Wesley worked daily to take care of all that needed to be done. She worked in the garden. She milked the cow, she schooled the children, she managed the entire household herself. And in spite of all of that, she decided that she would spend 2 hours a day with the Lord in quietness and prayer. Well, how do you do that with 10 kids? And what she found was something that would work for her is she taught the kids that when she had pulled her apron up over her head, that they were to leave her alone. And there with the apron on her head, she sat in prayer and would not be disturbed. Folks, we're not the only busy people in history. We're not the only people who struggle to get things done and keep the Lord in the proper place. Here's a very dear lady who made this decision that her time with the Lord would have a place of priority in her life. And if she had to do it under the cover of her apron, and that was all there was, then she did it. So Martha was distracted. Secondly, we see she's interrupting. Verse 40 tells us not just that she's distracted with all her preparations, but says she came up to him and said, came up to Jesus in all the busyness and all the preparations of everything that need to be done. They had pushed Martha, it seems, to the very edge, and she had decided she had to do something about it. I mean, it's not really fair that she is the one who has to do all the work for all these people while Mary sits there and just does nothing. And Mary had been unable to pick up on any of the hints that Martha had dropped, you know, the death stare, the setting down of things that becomes the slamming down of things, the all of these had failed, and so Martha at this point decides that she's going to go to the Lord and she's going to fix this because obviously Jesus is going to be on her side. Obviously Jesus is going to understand that she is the one who's making the right decision here and that Mary has her priorities out of place, and obviously Jesus is going to correct her sister. And so she comes to Jesus and she interrupts him. "Excuse me, Lord, I have something to tell you and it's very important." Third, you see she is accusing. It's bad enough that she would be so consumed with all these things that need to be done that she would actually walk up and interrupt Jesus. But notice what she says to him when she interrupts him in verse 40. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Don't you care about what I'm doing? Don't you care that I'm the only one in this house doing all the work that needs to be done while my sister just sits there? Obviously, if you actually cared about me, then you would notice that I need some help and you would tell Mary to come and help me. So she's distracted, she's interrupting, she's accusing. Fourth, you notice she's bossing. The end of verse 40, she tells Jesus this, "Then tell her to help me." May I say that it's easy for us tonight to sit here and to look at what Martha does and to say, "Now, Martha, Martha, look, you've made quite a scene here. Is all this really necessary? Look, you need to shape up. Some of this is really uncalled for." But what about us? In the busyness of life, when we're pulled away from our time with the Lord that we haven't had, and all the pressures are mounting on us, you find you go into God's presence and you complain to Him and you boss Him? "Lord, this is what really has to happen in this situation. I wish you'd just get going and do it." You say, "That's not bossing. That's bold praying. The Lord understands my situation." I think that's what Martha thought too. And you see, when our priorities are out of order, we find that our attitudes are out of order as well. Jesus had just a few years to accomplish all that he needed to do on this earth, and he was never short, and he was never angry, because he lived by priorities, and his attitude reflected that. So we've met Mary, we've met Martha in this story. Lastly, the attention turns to Jesus here in verse number 41. Look at how Jesus handles the situation that he is in. Notice, first of all, that Jesus addresses the needy. Who's the needy one here? Martha would say that the needy one here is Mary. It's Mary who needs to help. She's the one who needs a little addressing. She's the one who needs a little attention. She needs a little prod. She needs those things because she's not doing what she ought to do. But Jesus here instead addresses her. And she had come to Jesus, "Lord, tell her to help me." And maybe she stands back and says, "I can't wait for him to say, 'Mary, get up and help.'" But what does she hear? She hears, "Martha, Martha." See, Mary doesn't need to hear what Jesus has to say. Mary has been hearing what Jesus has had to say. The one who has not heard what Jesus has to say is Martha. And Martha is the one who needs Jesus by his word to point out the matters of her life that need to change. The problem in this passage is not with Mary, it is with Martha. But Martha doesn't realize that the problem is with her until Jesus speaks to her. And we need, like Martha, to hear the word of God regularly. And what God does when he speaks is he speaks into our heart and he tells us the kinds of things that Martha needed to hear. "You are too busy. You are too distracted. You responded wrongly in that situation. You have sinned. You've grieved me." We need to hear the Lord tell us those things. And so he says to her, "Martha, Martha," I would invite you to insert your own name in there, because next we see that Jesus exposes the need. "Martha, let me tell you what is actually needed in this situation. The need here is a need that is in your own heart. You need to correct your own way of thinking." So notice what he says to her there in verse 41. He says, "You are worried and bothered about many things." What a clear, simple confrontation of the Lord that is. It just cuts through all this misguided thinking and all these hurt feelings. And he just tells us sometimes exactly how things are. "You are worried and bothered about many things." And may I say to us tonight that some of us probably need to hear just this phrase from this passage tonight. As you sit here right now, Where are you? Are you worried and bothered about many things? Now, that's the problem with complaining to Jesus, right? He deals with you. And she complained to Jesus so he would deal with her sister, and he doesn't deal with her sister, he deals with her. And Jesus says, no, Martha, I won't talk about the problem with Mary, I'll talk about you. And when we are not spending time around the word of the Lord and we're not allowing him to confront us and to correct us, what happens is, like Martha, we begin to think that the problems are always with everybody else. And what we really need to hear is the Lord tell us that oftentimes the problems are with us. Third, we see that Jesus defines what is needed. What we see Jesus doing here in verse 42 is he's drawing a contrast between the end of verse 41 with so many things and the simple statement in verse 42 with only one thing. He says to Martha, many things are bothering you. Many things are on your mind. You think many things need to be done, but let me just tell you the truth here, Martha. There is just one thing that is necessary. And this, the thing that is necessary is the thing that Mary has chosen to do. Of all the good things that Mary could have done that day, she chose what is best. She chose to spend her time with Jesus. She had made that a priority for her life. Those things that were all important to Martha were, in fact, not that important. They didn't need to have a fancy dinner. And they didn't need to have pristine beds and clean sheets. And all the things that Martha thought they needed, they really didn't need. The only need in the situation is for Martha to sit quietly and be still in the presence of the Lord and to hear what he had to say. And so, my friends, there are many things in life that we may do, but there really is only one thing in life that we must do. And that is, we must spend our time with the Lord. How much of our time and our energy and our worry and our distraction and our stress in life is spent on things that, like Jesus says to Martha here, really isn't that needful? Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us that it is impossible for any person to be the slave of two masters. You just can't do it. And so you must choose who it is who you will serve. You can only have one master as your priority. What Jesus does here is he settles for all time the debate in life about the things that are most necessary. Of all the things in life that may be done, there is only one most important thing that must be done. And Jesus calls us, my friends, he calls us to make our time with him as the priority in our lives. If that is true for us individually on a personal basis, is it not also true when we gather together at God's house? Of all the things that may be done as a church when we gather together in this building, can we not say that Jesus here settles the debate and says that there really is one thing that must be done? We must sit together quietly and open his word and hear what he has to say. Fourth, lastly, this evening, you'll notice that Jesus commends and he rewards Mary's choice. You see that at the end of verse 42. Two choices were made that day. Martha made her choice and Mary made her choice. But Jesus commends Mary's choice. He says, Mary has chosen the good part. I wonder if the Lord could say that of us. In all the busyness of life, and the juggling of responsibilities and priorities, could the Lord say of us tonight that we have chosen the good part? Jesus commends Mary's choice. Notice also he rewards her choice. What she chose to do that day is something, Jesus says, that would not be taken away from her. I don't know if you've ever done something and you've worked really hard on it only to realize that all you had done was a waste, that it really didn't have to be done. And it's so frustrating to come to that point because you say, it's taken away. It didn't matter. And what Jesus says here is that in reality, in a matter of hours, all the food would be eaten and the plates would be dirty and the house would be disheveled and the beds would be slept in, and all of those things ultimately really don't matter. They're here and they're gone. They're taken away. But Mary's choice, her choice to spend those precious moments with the Lord in communion with him, is something that would last, something that would never be taken away. This is the reward of placing the Lord in his place of priority in our lives. These are the things that God would desire to do in us if we would sit down and we would open up his word and we would spend daily some time with him. We're people who are faced with many distractions, worried and burdened by many things, but may God help us to put him in his place of priority. We're going to close with a word of prayer, and then I'm just going to let this be our prayer of dismissal tonight. Thank you for coming, young people. Thank you for your service. Lord, we confess tonight that if we're honest, I think we can identify with Martha pretty well. We get pretty busy. And we invest our time and our energy and our thought and our worry, even our anger, in things which really don't matter. And you, who should be at the top of the list, are shoved down and down and down to a place where it seems as though you don't matter. And Lord, we confess that to you tonight as sin. Help us, we pray, to treasure you. And just as we treasure so many other things in life that always find their way done in the day, Lord, may we treasure you. May we live our lives by priorities. May we, as was said in the testimony tonight, may we love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And may our love for you be reflected in our desire to sit and to listen and to learn from you, to have this priority of hearing the word of God. Lord, it's such a simple statement, and I realize we know these things tonight. But I also realize that we forget these things, and we need from time to time to be reminded about these truths. Lord, there are things that we need to hear you say to us. And it's not going to happen until we sit down and let you speak. So, Lord, speak to us from your word. And make us people who love you, we pray. Thank you for the good service tonight, for the young people who have given of their time and their talents and their energies to serve you in this way. Lord, we pray you would be honored with all these things, and dismiss us now as we go into this week. We pray with your blessing. In Christ's name, amen.